This is Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad. It's a Friday morning in June, which means it's time to continue our summer book series. Today, we'll talk with Captain Robert Jornlin about his book, Bringing Back a Hero. It's the true story of a group of U.S. Navy veterans, average age 72, who traveled to the island of Crete to repair and sail home a World War II landing ship tank, or LST. Captain Bob, welcome to the Summer Book Series.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here.
You and other members of the nonprofit group called the LST Memorial began searching for an LST in the late 1980s. Before we go any further, I'd like you to tell us what a landing ship tank is and what it was designed to do.
A landing ship tank, or LST, or you can call it a large slow target, was the dream, actually, of Winston Churchill as he was getting pushed off at Dunkirk in 1940 by the Germans. He had to leave all of his equipment on the beach and barely got his 370,000 men off European soil there. But he was thinking, how's he going to get back? He needed a ship that could go up on the beach anywhere in the world and offload tanks and heavy equipment, then go back and get more. So he brought that idea to the United States, and a guy by the name of John Niedermeyer drew it out in 15 minutes on a napkin.
Now, this is a flat-bottomed ship to allow it to get onto the beach, so it's got to be a bumpy ride on the high seas, right?
It's both a bumpy and it rolls. And the bow is kind of a blunt bow because you get the doors that open. So when you go into the waves, you don't cut through them exactly. You kind of push them out of the way, and they'll roll 20 degrees pretty easy.
Well, in 1999, Congress approved the memorial's request to acquire an LST, number 325, which was sitting in Souda Bay, Crete. Now, this ship had been transferred to the Greek Navy in the 1960s and recently decommissioned. This LST served at the invasion of Sicily, the D-Day landing at Omaha Beach, and other battles during World War II. You arrived in the year 2000 in Crete. Describe the ship's condition when you arrived.
Paint was peeling. It was rusted badly. The radar didn't work. There was nothing working. Mechanically, of course, nothing had been run when I got over there. And that was the biggest disappointment. I was told that the ship was about 80% ready to sail. Basically, nothing had been done when I got over there.
There's an amusing anecdote on page 15, which reveals some of the residents of the ship who quietly took over before the U.S. crew arrived. I'd like you to read the passage that begins, "The 325 was still in the boneyard," and we'll talk after that.
"The 325 was still in the boneyard when the first group arrived. I guess the Hellenic Greek Navy had not gotten word through channels the LST 325 belonged to the memorial. After a week, the Greeks decided to help and move the LST to a nice pier in the repair base, then hooked it up to electricity and water. They also brought alongside an oil barge to pump bilge oil out of the engine room and oily water out of the shaft alleys. One problem on board was the cockroaches. While cleaning, someone picked up a few bags of rotten potatoes and out scurried a couple hundred roaches, which, of course, spread to all parts of the ship. One of the men, Ron Maranto, who lived in Metairie, close to New Orleans, had experience with killing roaches. He made up a special concoction of poison and went to work placing it where those elusive devils run. He positioned this bait all over the ship. By the time I arrived at the end of August, Ron had them pretty well under control. In fact, I never saw one roach on the ship. He kept bait out the entire time. This problem made the web page and then the newspapers. The LST bridge became a cockroach hotel."
We should mention that you became captain after the previous captain fell out of favor with the Greek Navy, the U.S. State Department, and the ship's crew. We should also emphasize that every crew member was a volunteer on this mission, and they paid their own expenses.
Yes.
But you can't order volunteers.
That's right.
Now, to bring the LST 325 home, you had to use skills that you acquired in civilian life. Tell us how you managed dozens of guys, many of whom were older than you, including World War II veterans.
I think my experience of being in sales for almost 30 years, and I was in the hybrid seed corn business, you have to get along with all kinds of people. And you get a lot of different opinions on things, and you you know, you just go along with the gentleman. And then when you get away a ways, you may get out of your vehicle and kick the tires. But you leave him thinking that his ideas are great. And most of the time they were, of course.
Of all the people who helped you bring this ship home, who stands out in your mind as especially vital to this effort?
Nicholas Burns, our American ambassador to Greece. He probably, at first, was, I believe, kind of with the rest of the State Department. But as he saw these men work and progress we were making, he got on our side and started getting the Greeks on our side. In fact, we had a picnic on board for the Greeks, and he brought over quite a few people from the embassy in Athens. We had some of the big generals in the Hellenic Navy on board, and plus our Navy. And so he, down in the engine room, believe it or not, we went down and they all had their whites on. And yeah, I had the engine man clean it up as best you can, but the engine room is not a place for a white uniform. And down there, he had them kind of corralled down there, and he said, how about you guys helping these guys get this ship going? And of course, they all looked at me, and then they looked at him, and then they looked at the ship, and they said, yes, we can do that.
Describe the process of completing this book and finding a publisher for it.
Whenever I gave a speech or a talk for a Rotary Club or service club, there would be always somebody come up and at the end and say, you ought to write a book. Then I had a captain come by, retired captain off a submarine, and he, in his second career, had got into writing plays, and I think he'd wrote a couple of movie scripts too. And he heard our story and wanted to know if he could do a movie script, and he knew a producer in Hollywood. And he says, what we'd like is a book to base this story on. I actually sat down and wrote the book in 2013.
And that screenplay writer, the former submariner you talked about, you got him a copy as well?
Oh, yes.
And what was his name?
Eric Carlson.
Has a director signed on to this project yet?
Not a director, but we have a producer.
And that is?
Mitchell Peck, and he's in Los Angeles. They're both excited about this story, and so...
Well, it sounds like it would be a perfect film for Clint Eastwood to direct. Robert Jornlin is the author of Bringing Back a Hero. At WNIJ.org, you can hear him read an excerpt from his book. Captain Bob, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Next Friday, the summer book series turns to poetry with NIU poet John Bradley.